Welcome to week 10 of the podcast. Nearly got to that 3 months, nearly been doing it a quarter of a year. What a week, eh? What a week. Not a great week to be a British cycling aficionado or fan. Obviously, there's the Shane Sutton departure for alleged comments regarding women's and para cyclists. Which, of course, there's no place for in any sport or walk of life. And that's a sad departure, really, because as a rider, Shane Sutton was pretty peerless at the time. I remember him duking it out in the old City Centre series before the Tour series was born, back in the late 80s and the 90s, riding for Rally Banana and Banana Falcon, and a real great rider in that trident of great riders that they had, the Chris Walkers, the Chris Lillywhites, and of course Shane himself, Dave Mann, great riders with big personalities and an all-conquering team, and that banana team that went over to the mainland to feature in classics, riding semi-classics such as Gent-Wevelgem and so on. So whilst my people look back before Team Sky at ANC Halfords as the British team of choice, and rightly so, because they rode the Tour de France in 1987, the Banana and the Ever Ready Batteries team for that particular point were kind of doing it on a slightly smaller scale in the 90s and paving the way. So, complete aside, really, what Sutton is alleged to have done is unforgivable, and he had to go. Throw in a positive dope test for Simon Yates as well, and it's not a great time to be a British cycling fan, as someone who pays their membership to get their licence. Of course, I want it resolved and resolved fairly and honestly and amicably as soon as possible, because any disability or your sex should not dictate the opportunities you get in any sport or any walk of life for that matter. Let alone cycling. So let's hope that's tidied up and we move on. Obviously, the less said about a positive test for Simon Yates, the better. So we're going to move on and talk about the racing. And what an interesting period of racing it's been. The Tour de Romandy we featured last week, and what a great race it was. It ended up, Chris Froome lost a fair amount of time. I'm not convinced by him this season. Wouldn't be putting my money on him for the Tour de France, but you never know. I have been wrong, as regular listeners will know. Quintana rode pretty peerlessly, apart from nearly falling on those dangerous tram lines from the slick final hilly stage, which Froome won from a breakaway, but he certainly wouldn't have been given the leeway to win from a breakaway had he not shipped many minutes on a previous stage. You can call mechanical if you want, but it looks a convenient mechanical to me. So Quintana going well. The revelation of the Tour de Romandy was Thibaut Pinot, the Frenchman who's been on absolutely sensational form this season. Whenever the road goes uphill, Pinot's there or thereabouts. So fair play to him. Well, could he finally be the man to end that drought for the French? Interesting reading in the press. Bradley Wiggins seems to think that Romain Bardet will be the man to break the French Tour de France drought that goes back to 1985 now. It's almost like a Brit winning Wimbledon, isn't it? To throw in a cliche. But anyway, before the Tour de France, in the build-up races, the Tour de Romandy was won. There was a fair few riders in it that were looking to hone their form ahead of the upcoming Giro d'Italia, which we're very excited about and starting this week in Holland, of course, like you do. I'm one of those people that actually doesn't mind a foreign Grand Tour start. I don't get too bent out of shape about it. It's not great, it's not ideal, but I understand that, you know, commercially there are reasons for that. It's a good opportunity for Tom Dumoulin, of course, a time trial, but I think the early stages of the Giro almost look like they were written for Fabian Cancellara. So I think there's a fairly good chance that Fabian could well be the opening winner of the stages of the Giro. I hope. What we've also had, which we missed out last week due to space and time, was of course the Tour de Yorkshire, which is a race that kind of it splits me in half. Really, I like the idea, I like the concept. I think it's really, really stupid how the hills are called the Cote de Smith Street or whatever it might be. I like the idea, and I think ASO have done a good job, and the crowds certainly dictate that it's a race that's going to continue. But you know, let's not pretend that Yorkshire's in France because it really isn't. Let's try and give the race its own identity, because some of those climbs are really, really stupidly steep and almost Flemish in their gradients. So let's focus on that and creating our own brand and our own identity, rather than kind of making it like a mini Tour de France, but in Yorkshire. I like the idea of heritage and legacy events. And of course, around here in the Fens, we had the stage three of that Tour de France starting in Cambridge. And of course, we've got the Tour of Kerry, Cambridge, Grand Fondo and Time Trial as our heritage events, which are pretty exciting, pretty decent to watch, and cover a lot of pretty good Fenland terrain. A lot of people turned up, I think, last year expecting them to be a bit of a breeze, but there was a bit of a breeze, if that pun makes sense. These roads aren't easy, people. These roads aren't easy. They're grippy, they're sticky, they're on sort of elevated sections of road with big deep ditches at either side that the wind catches and whips. A lot of people were caught out, I think, went too hard in the hilly first sort of 40-50 k's of the Tour of Cams and then paid for it quite bitterly late on. I know I was hanging on for the last hour, so and there was a lot of people in the group that I was in who were similarly finding it unpleasant. So the Tour de Yorkshire, brilliant to see Thomas Voeckler win it, and a pretty good last stage, really. Mugged Nico Roach properly on that finishing straight. Roach made the mistake, I think, of almost looking rhythmically across the, if that makes sense, rhythmically across the across the track, the road, looking for Voeckler. Then maybe two pedal strokes looking forward, two to the side, and Voeckler worked that out. And as soon as his head was turning back to face forward, I don't quite know why I'm sat at my table doing those actions because you can't see them, but I'm sure you get the picture. Voeckler was away and gone. So fair play to him for that. A good win and deserving for the veteran. So many congratulations to him. Okay, our final point then, before we will have had four or five stages of the Giro before we next speak, mainly because that starts on Friday with the time trial in Apeldoorn, and then you've got some reasonably dull looking early stages around Arnhem to Nijmegen, and then from Nijmegen back to Arnhem, strangely enough, before a very early rest day, which is why the Giro is starting on a Friday, not on a Saturday. It'll be interesting to see where the race is at. As I said, jumped around quite a bit in this episode. I apologise for that. As I said, I'm fairly confident that it's going to be Fabian Cancellara's early weeks. It'll be interesting to see where Dumoulin is finished. And then as the race gets back into Italy, sort of Tuesday, Wednesday next week, we'll start to see the sort of shape the contenders are in. Most people are looking at this and thinking it's a Vincenzo Nibali benefit. I see Landa as his only, Mikel Landa of Team Sky as his only real, true challenger. But we shall see. Dumoulin had a great Vuelta. Can he ever be that good again? I'm not sure in the high mountains. Valverde is old. If he wins, he'll be accused of being a cheat anyway. I see him sort of second, third. I think Nibali, Landa and Valverde will be the top three. The wild card being Ilnur Zakarin, who had a... despite being the most ragged rider I've ever seen riding a time trial. If you get the chance to watch that Romandy individual time trial, watch him in the last 5Ks. He was all over the shop. He's got a chance of maybe breaking into that podium. So we'll see. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. So we're wrapping up fairly quickly. We're cramming as much as we can into the 10 minutes. Thanks for everyone who shared our podcast, tweeted us on and Facebooked us on last week. Let's hope you've heard enough this week to do the same. So thanks and speak to you next week. Bye bye.